Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the fifth Sunday of Lent. Today, we will reflect on today's Gospel of St. John and hear and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
The second Sunday of Easter is known as Divine Mercy Sunday. This year, that date is April 27th. Thursday, April 24th, through Divine Mercy Sunday, the 27th, Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome, is offering you the opportunity to gain a deeper understanding of the mercy of God, a God who loves us and wants us to recognize that His mercy is greater than our sins, so that we will call upon Him with trust, receive His mercy, and let it flow through us to others. To register for this Divine Mercy Retreat, visit deepprayer.org or call the Retreat Center at 361-289-9095. Let His mercy show through you. Visit deepprayer.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how was your week?
Well, how much of it do you want to hear?
It's been very busy. As much as you want to tell us.
It's been very busy. Yeah, well, Monday I was in San Antonio with all the bishops of Texas, and that's always an interesting moment to look at common issues, and but also to be with the other bishops. It's a great lift, and you know, you can speak, and they understand, and right. So it was a great fraternal moment for us. And then I was visiting on Wednesday St. Patrick, as I've been going around all the schools and loving the questions that I get, and just. Two things. One young man in one of the classes asked me if I ever get bored. And I...
out of the mouth of babes.
That's right. Absolutely. From a gut-wrenching laugh, said, absolutely not. Never bored, because I'm here with you today. And so they laughed. And then the other one, they each gave me a spiritual bouquet of different prayers, which was really wonderful.
That's nice.
And so one little girl, I think it was in pre-K-4, as I walked out of the room, she said, Bishop, don't forget to pray tonight. So I said, I'll be on my knees, and I hope you will. Oh, yeah, she said, I will.
How darling.
So it kind of gives you a lift. So
it does.
It's been a great week.
Good. Well, thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, and that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what had been done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I see in this gospel, Bishop, there are several themes, but it's about death, prayer, and believing in the risen Christ.
Yes, very good. And it's, it's a gospel that I really find meaningful on a day of a funeral, because obviously there's human sorrow at the death of a loved one, especially if it's long illness and difficult illness, and the younger a person is, the more difficult it is. So there's so many factors that come in to surrounding the death of a loved one. But that's why this gospel in a particular way is important for us as we prepare for Easter, for Resurrection Sunday. And as we've said before, this A cycle is really for the catechumens to come to a firm belief that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And just as Jesus elicited from Peter a profession of faith, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" The same kind of pointed question Jesus puts to Martha when she kind of reiterates what she knew. "Yes, I know he will rise in the resurrection," which was kind of the final resurrection at the end. But Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he die, will live, and whoever lives will not die." And then he turns to her in the same way he turned to Peter, "Do you believe this?" And it really conjures up inside of us an expression of faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe this." I say that not only because of, the beauty of a gospel like this on the day of a funeral, but also recently I was asked a very interesting question, which I found startled me a little bit. And yet I think, this is what we in our culture are seeing. And the question was, "Do you believe in mediums?" And of course, first of all, I had to get a true definition. What's a medium? Right. And I knew, because I had seen that one program a couple of times. And I thought, how do you answer this? And I said, "No, I don't, because of faith. I don't need someone to tell me that they're in contact with my Father." For example, closest person for me in my life who has died to this life, because I know he's alive and I speak to him. And, I have that faith that he is alive in the resurrection of Jesus. He is with Jesus. I was there when he died. I don't need that. And I think this expression of, "Do you believe that?" brings up what is our faith and what is our prayer. As you mentioned, it's also about prayer. How do we pray? Do we pray believing that Jesus himself is alive, for one thing, and that those whom we love are alive, and that heaven is real, the next life is real. So it's a tremendous gospel that really we need to take time to visit with and spend time with.
Well, it is, and it's when you mention about funerals, I was at a funeral lately, and the pastor there said, you know, for people who do not believe, this was the end of this person's life. This is it. But for those of us that are here and that believe, he has eternal life. He continues to live. And it's really a very, it's a very good question to think about, because it would be very hard to accept the death of a loved one if you didn't have faith.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when you have those doubts, then you have to go to somebody else. Tell me that they're, show me signs, give me signs, you know, all these things. But, you know, we have to be people of faith, and that faith means that I am convinced because of my faith in Jesus Christ, not because of some theory, because what Martha was giving back to Jesus was the theological teaching, which was true. But he wanted to give her a new faith, and the faith was not in a particular doctrine, but in himself. Believe in me, because I am the resurrection. I am the one who offers this life to Lazarus now, and come to me, because I am the resurrection and the life. And I think that that, especially as we approach the celebration of the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus, this is a time for us to really ask ourselves, and as you're listening now, you know, to those who are listening to us, do you believe that he is the life, the resurrection for you, for your loved ones? And if he is, then life is in him. And we don't need a mediator or a medium or whatever they want to call it to tell me. I know. And that's, if that faith is strong in that, then keep that alive. If it's not, then ask for the grace to grow in that. And I know many people are in very difficult situations, and so it gets clouded over, and maybe with a loved one, we said something we shouldn't have said at the last moment, and that can really present a sense of guilt and all these things. And I understand all of that, but beyond all of that, that Jesus convinces us through his own resurrection that he's alive, and so he is the first to rise from the dead, and we will rise with him through faith.
Mm-hmm.
And also just a reminder, I know our time's getting short for the first segment, but it's so incredibly strong what St. Paul says, if Jesus has not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. And that's a very strong statement, but it is very true, because our whole faith life hinges on this teaching that we see in Lazarus, but then eventually we will see in a couple of weeks in his own resurrection that he has conquered death. And that is why to stay in Christ throughout our doubts, we all at certain times doubt certain things, but he's the one who took away the stone. He's the one that called Lazarus out, and he's the one who offers resurrection and life to all of us through faith.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thought. And we will continue that on our journey of Lent as we prepare for Easter Sunday. All right. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will hear and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Take a swing for a good cause. On Friday, April 25th, Our Lady of Corpus Christi will sponsor its second annual Blue Dome Golf Tournament at Oso Beach Municipal Golf Course on South Alameda, beginning at noon. Proceeds benefit Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome. The format is four-man scramble, with prizes going to the top three teams. Other prizes will be awarded for closest to pin, longest drive, and so on. To enter or for more information, call 361-215-8173.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in April, so we are able to do the Word of Life for April this Sunday. And once again, it's a beautiful line out of the Scriptures.
Right, right. Well, I think we'll find all this year the words of life will really gather around this reciprocity, this mutual love, that you not only love, but that you are loved, and that this is what the bond of the church really is, a communion of people. So here's really at the heart of it, and also it leads us into the celebration of Holy Thursday, where Jesus gives the new commandment focused and centered around the Eucharist. So, you know, the reason for choosing these different ones are deliberate, that the celebration of Holy Thursday, the Eucharist, and the new commandment are all right here in the month of April. So here we go. So this one is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Jesus said these words just before the beginning of his passion. These words were part of his farewell to his disciples, part of his last will. It is obvious how important they are. If the words a father pronounces on his deathbed can never be forgotten, how should we feel about the words of a man who is God? Let us take them very seriously and try together to understand them in depth. Jesus was about to die, and what he said reflected this. Because of his imminent departure, one problem was foremost in his mind. How could he remain among his own and take care of the growing church? You may know that Jesus is present in the sacraments, in the Mass, for instance. He becomes truly present in the Eucharist. But Jesus is also present where there are people who live mutual love, referencing Matthew 18:20. In this way, he can continue to be actively present in the community, deeply rooted in mutual love. And through the community, he can continue to reveal himself to the world and make his influence felt. Isn't this splendid? Doesn't this make you want to start right now to live this love with your fellow Christians? According to St. John, who put down the words we are now meditating on, mutual love is the foremost commandment of the church, whose vocation is, in fact, to be communion, to be unity. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. Right after pronouncing these words, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So if you want to know the true mark of authentic disciples of Christ and their distinctive characteristic, you will find it in the mutual love they live. Christians are recognized by this sign. If it is missing, the world will no longer be able to find Jesus in the church. In this same farewell, Jesus called this commandment his. It is his and is therefore particularly close to his heart. You should not simply take it as a norm or a rule to follow or just another commandment. Here, Jesus wants to reveal a way of life to you. He wants to give you something upon which you can build your life. The first Christians, in fact, placed this commandment at the basis of their lives. Before going to work, before studying, before going to Mass, before starting any activity, make sure that there is mutual love between you and whoever is with you. If there is, then everything you do is worthwhile. Without this foundation, nothing is pleasing to God. Jesus also said that this commandment was new. I give you a new commandment. Did he mean that this commandment was previously unknown? No. New indicated that it belonged to the new era. And with what kind of love did he love us? Jesus died for us. Therefore, he loved us in the greatest way possible, not with a love like ours. His love was and is divine. He loved us with the same love with which he and the Father love each other. We have to love one another with the same love in order to carry out the new commandment. However, as human beings, you and I do not possess this kind of love. But happily, as Christians, we have received it. The Holy Spirit has instilled it in our hearts and in the hearts of all believers. Therefore, there is an affinity among the Father and the Son and us Christians because of this unique divine love which we possess. It is this love that introduces us into the life of the Trinity. It is this love that makes us children of God. This love is a bond uniting heaven and earth in a dynamic way. By means of this love, the Christian community shares in God's life, and God dwells on earth. Everywhere believers love one another. Don't you feel that all this is infinitely beautiful and that Christian life is marvelously fascinating? Written by Kiara Lubick.
You know, if I didn't do this, but if I had kept track of how many times the word love was mentioned, it was a lot. And it's you've talked about it many times. If you don't have love, you have nothing.
Well, yeah, and I think many of us grew up in an era in the church, you know, where it was follow the commandments and everything was clear and black and white and you knew. You know, but I think the Holy Spirit has really led us to, not that that was wrong at all, or even that it's wrong today, but we have to infuse the heart of our faith, which is love, into who we are and how we do what we do, how we say what we do, how we act. And we all fall short, as she says in here, this love is not ours because we all... we don't possess this love. This is divine love that that Jesus is commanding us. But I also think that one thing that we need to look at here is what she says about this being a new commandment of a new era and his commandment. Because what's new here is the reciprocity. In other words, that Jesus is saying to his disciples, and of course, if you look at it in the context of where they were at the Last Supper, and he was preparing also to wash their feet, and that whole dynamic that was happening there, and the Eucharist being the permanent symbol and sign for us as a sacrament that Jesus has given his life for us. So all of that is working here. But Jesus is simply saying, love one another. Which means give love and receive love, to enter into kind of a bond, which again, marriage is a symbol, but any of us who are committed through our baptism, it's that commitment to love God, love our neighbor, and be loved by them. This is what's new. I think I'm giving a talk actually on Tuesday of this week at St. Thomas University in Houston. I've been asked to come there and give a talk on the spirituality of communion, and it's based on this commandment. So it's not just love God or just love your neighbor as a sign of fulfilling their needs if they're hungry or poor, and we have to do that too. We want to do that as well. But also the heart of the Christian community, the heart of our being together as church, is that we are entered into a committed love for one another, mm-hmm. that we're ready to give our life for each other. This is the freshness that Christianity brought into the new era back when the church was just beginning. And so, as she said, it was in those days they could say, see how they love one another. They saw something new. If we look at ourselves today, we'd have to ask, do we have that? Or is everybody just their own entity and their own idea about things? And so I'm my own truth.
The silos.
A little joke I've heard recently of a little girl who came in and said to the teacher, you know, nobody likes me. And the teacher said, well, Sally, let me just be honest with you. And the teacher said to her, well, Sally, I hear that the kids think that you're a little pushy. And she said, I'm not pushy. It's just that my ideas are better. And I think that, you know, that's
right.
Kind of a joke, but I think
right.
We all think that.
Right.
We're all better. And the whole theology, the whole spirituality of St. Paul and the early church was defer to one another. See the other one as greater than yourself. Love one another. Serve one another. Wash each other's feet. Before you go and wash the feet of the poor, before you go and wash the feet of those who are in need. We need to, we're called to do that. We need to go out and do that. But make sure that that love is there first internally. And that's why she put here, before you go to Mass, before you go to study, before you go to pray, make sure that this love is alive in your own life, in your family, in your communities, to have an affection and a readiness to really give your life for each other. Then our faith will be real and seen by others.
Well, and it's a perfect word of life, not just for this month and during Lent, but for the rest of the year.
The rest of our life.
Right. Rest of our life. Exactly.
Right.
Well, thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Probably one of the hardest to do.
Agreed.
But we keep going.
We keep trying.
Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.